With that, we welcome in a baseball man, Jason Stark, from The Athletic, as he joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Jason, thanks for coming on. We thank you for the time.
What's happening, man? Happy October.
Yeah, happy October it is, and hopefully it'll be much happier as the Braves start their series tomorrow. Who do you like?
Well, I actually picked the Cardinals. I picked the Cardinals to go to the World Series coming out of spring training, and I'd like to actually be right once in my life, so I stuck with that. But this is really fun. I've been around the Braves a lot the second half of the year, and I love everything about that team. They're really built for this moment, and they're a team with massive upside. I have two worries. One is about Freddie Freeman's elbow. No home runs after September 1st. That's really troubling to me. And the fact that Ronald Acuna hasn't played in over a week worries me. I mean, it looks like he's going to be healthy, but the rust is a factor. And, you know, these best-of-five series, they move quick. You lose game one, you got Jack Flaherty waiting in game two. You know, game one to me is a really critical game for the Braves to win with Jack Flaherty awaiting the next night.
I don't think they're going to tell us today. I'll be in the workout later on. With Freddie Freeman's elbow, I'm wondering if they play the shift. And I don't know enough about what Mike Shildt wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. But him just standing there is good enough for me. I don't want him to be a crash test dummy. I want him to be able to swing the bat. But Freddie Freeman will go the other way when he's healthy. I'm going to be really interested to see if they believe, watching the video, that Freddie Freeman is not really ready to start pulling balls to the right side of the field.
Yeah, you know, I'm fascinated by how much teams shift on Freddie, because he's one of the great shift beaters in the game. But you're right. I mean, that's the one thing he hasn't been able to do as effectively over the last month, is shoot that ball through the hole the other way, especially with men on base. And so it's definitely something to watch. He's gotten a lot of rest, and I think that's important. You know, it's one of the perks of winning your division. But I don't see how the Braves win if Freddie isn't great. There's just something special about that guy at the plate.
One of the things you just wrote about, and I'm glad you did, I've sort of talked about roll call here, and I haven't really made it a big deal, but you wrote a column about it. My question goes to Ron Washington. I asked Nick just about an hour ago, do you think there's a team out there, and I think of Pittsburgh trying to change a culture, do you think Ron Washington might get a call with these managerial openings?
I think he should. I would be very hesitant to predict that he will. You know, it just feels like guys like him don't get these jobs anymore. You know, 14 of the 30 teams in baseball changed managers between the end of 2017 and the end of this year. And only two of those jobs went to guys who'd ever managed in the big leagues before. That's a Joel Sherman stat. One of them is Brad Ausmus, who just got fired after 1 year. And so I actually talked about this with Freddie Freeman when I worked on the piece, because Wash and the Zen of Wash is such a big force in the Braves. It you know, was such a vital part of the piece I wrote on roll call. And Freddie said to me he doesn't think Wash will be around much longer because he's going to get a job. And I said to him, I don't know that guys like Ron Washington get these jobs anymore. And I still think that's very possibly true. But if at least a couple of these teams don't at least talk to that guy, they are making a mistake, because he is a leader.
Jason Stark with us from The Athletic, talking some baseball with him as he joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. When you talk about Alex Anthopoulos, and it goes all the way through, and I enjoyed the piece that you wrote, it really is top to bottom an organization where everybody seems to be on the same page. Now, is that going to guarantee you anything in the postseason? No, but it's kind of refreshing to see.
I love being around that team. You know, they lead the league in culture. I do think that starts with Alex. He's a big believer in that. You know, a couple of players told me leading up to the trading deadline that when Alex was thinking about trading for a player, adding a player to that mix, he ran it by the most important voices in the room: Freddie, Brian McCann, Josh Donaldson, Nick Markakis, because he wants to make sure that the pieces fit. And, you know, not every GM in the sport recognizes the importance of that these days. I think the Pirates would be a great example, right? But so it starts with him. Brian Snitker is amazing in the way he cultivates that, and he's got a staff full of guys who are all about it. And that's really the kind of the theme of the roll call story. Is it, you know, it's really kind of dumb that this kind of thing would matter, but it's one of those driving forces that bonds human beings and keeps them churning.
Do you know what's interesting, though, Jason? It doesn't matter how much money you make. You want somebody you respect who's been around the game a long time to determine what it is you are on a given day and what it is you can be tomorrow if you play this game well. And so in case people don't know, it's Eric Young and Ron Washington gather everybody up, and they tell them whether they're a player, E-R, or play-uh, U-H. And I thought, just tell the Donaldson one real quick, because Josh Donaldson needed a little bit of a lesson. And he's a different guy, and different can be good. But the fact that he bought into what the whole thing was tells me he was a perfect sign for this team.
Yeah, although I have to admit, Josh is still a little unclear about what's going on in the roll call. but the story here is, all right, if you're a playa, if Ron Washington says you're a playa, you're a big-time player. Like Freddie Freeman is always a playa. But if you're a player, that means you got something to prove. And so first weekend of the season this year, it was time for roll call. And when they got to Josh Donaldson, Wash said, player, not playa. And Josh said, player? How'd I get to be a player? And that's where Eric Young told him, hey, we know all about what you did in Toronto, but you ain't done nothing here. And Josh said, okay. You'll see, right?
Yeah, perfect.
That's the vibe that just fuels the Braves every day of the season.
All right, let's talk a little bit big picture baseball. We were having a conversation. If Joe Girardi calls Brody, if he calls Philadelphia, would they fire a guy? If Joe Madden called Philadelphia and New York and said he wanted to go, is that what we're waiting for in Philadelphia and New York as much as anything else?
I mean, I don't think it's quite the way you described it, but I do think that especially in Philadelphia, it's not just as simple as, are we firing the manager? Because what you do next, who you interview, who you hire, it's going to tell us a lot about the direction of your franchise. You know, when they fired everybody, fired Ruben Amaro, fired Pete McCannon, you know, just let all the old school guys either let them walk or started pretty much not listening to anything they said. That was a statement. And so this regime has had a chance to implement new school. And they've shown the last 2 years that that's a problem. So, you know, my understanding is that the owner, John Middleton, wants more of a blend between old school and new school. The front office that he brought in to go new age all the way, they're not all in on that idea. And so that's what they're thrashing out. I mean, you got to decide that before you decide whether you want to hire Joe Madden or Joe Girardi or Buck Showalter, right? If you're going to hire somebody like that, then it's going to be a completely different direction in many ways than what you've been doing.
What about Brody in New York?
My sense is that Mickey Callaway is going to be gone. That Brody Ben Wagner did not hire him, and I can't explain the delays in either Philadelphia or New York. But my sense is that both those guys are going to be gone.
Do you think Joe Girardi in New York makes sense? Because everybody said, look, I don't know what the Cubs thing is going to be, because he certainly could make sense there. David Ross's name has come up. But do you want a guy who's handled New York, or do you need a guy who's a little bit looser than Joe Girardi can be sometimes?
Well, you know, experienced managers have not been getting these jobs. I think this is the winter when that changes a little bit. Joe Madden's obviously going to get hired. Wouldn't surprise me if, you know, we're going to have potentially 8 jobs if 3 or 4 of them go to guys who've managed before. And, you know, I've worked with Joe at MLB Network, and Joe is ready, but only in the right spot. Joe Girardi is great at his job. If you want to hire Joe Girardi to manage your team, you're hiring an instantly great manager. But he's intense. You know, it's a change in culture for some of these groups. It depends on what you want. I mean, what I've kind of heard through the grapevine is that Philadelphia would be his first choice. I don't know if he's their first choice, but it's something to watch.
Jason Stark from The Athletic with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. You can follow him on Twitter. Jason ST is where you can follow him, I should say, on Twitter. Let's circle back to Brian Snicker. You talk about old school versus new school. He's one of those rare breeds of a manager that has married both of those schools of thought, has he not?
Yep, exactly. This series is really an example of that, because Mike Schilt's got the same profile. You know, it's just so refreshing to me that Brian Snicker got this chance, and to watch the way he leads. I live in a town in Philadelphia where people complain all the time about analytics. And if you look at the best teams in the sport, the Astros, the Dodgers, and the Yankees, they're the most data-driven teams in the sports. Don't tell me that the analytics don't work. Who would not want the very best information? Brian Snicker does, but it's very important that the guy who's leading the troops and the coaching staff that's delivering the information has the trust of the group, knows what's essential, knows what to tune out, knows when to push back. I think the Braves staff is really good about that, about saying, you know what, I don't think this works. We're not going to do it that way. The players see that. They don't miss anything. And so it starts with the manager, but the coaches are a huge part of that.
You know what's interesting? Ryan Snicker's son works in Houston, and he worked his way up through the ranks. I know that story pretty well. But it's funny that Snit said, hey, you know what? If I can lean on anybody, let's go to the guy who works for the group that actually pushes it as much as anybody. And he said, look, I walked into some meetings and didn't know what some of these abbreviations were. I didn't know what the numbers were, what the letters were. But I worked at it. I wanted to make sure that I at least had it in my back pocket.
Right.
I like the idea that the piece of paper might tell me one thing, but you can play your way in or out of what that piece of paper is telling me. That's the human element in this whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, I wrote a big piece about this earlier this season, about the future of managing. I talked to Joe Maddon, Terry Francona, Bruce Bochy, big group. And I still remember Joe saying to me that he tells his peers, guys in his general age group all the time, that you may not agree with the way the sport's going, but if you close your mind to it, you're making yourself unemployable. And you've got to blend all the information with the human element and your years of experience. And that's the package that has to be sold in that room. Because players are a lot younger than managers. Brian Snicker's players are a lot younger than him. But what have they done all their lives? They play. And that's what their focus is. And they know, they have a picture in their mind of what they are and how they play and how they succeed. And you've got to tailor the information to that. If it starts with the data first, and then you're expecting players to conform to the data, that's when you run into problems. Snit, that whole staff, they have such a great feel for that.
Jason, before we let you go, a lot of people around here were playing if you get through the first round, you're going to see the Dodgers. I'm on the record weeks back as saying, I don't think so. I think Washington's going to beat them. Any idea if my basis was it's hard to go to the World Series 3 years in a row. As much as anything else, I'm basing it on that. Who do you like in that series now?
You know, it's hard not to pick the Dodgers. The Nationals are their worst nightmare. It's a super talented team, and maybe that last night released some demons. The one thing I'd worry about is the Nationals had the worst bullpen in baseball this year. And you know, you saw last night, who do they trust? You know, they trust their starting pitchers. They trust Daniel Hudson. They trust Sean Doolittle. They don't trust anybody else. I don't know if you can make it through a best of five against the Dodgers when that's the group you're going to run out there. And the Dodgers are the kingpins of the late inning comeback, the big ninth inning rally. And, you know, I could see the Nationals winning every game after seven innings and losing the series. Couldn't you?
Yeah, we said it last night. You know, my expression has always been, you don't have to be the best team for the whole night. You just have to be better in moments.
Yeah, you remember that Tigers-Red Sox ALCS in 2013 where it seemed like, You know, the Tigers were the team with a big rotation. It seemed like they were going to pitch a no-hitter every night, and somehow they lost that series. They're all still scarred by it. This could be the 2019 version of that series.
And by the way, we have to mention, congratulations to you. I don't know if we did it properly. Hall of Famer, Jason Stark.
We're selling you short, Jason.
Well, I've had a big summer. I won the Spink Award and got to give a speech in Cooperstown, New York, and it was pretty magical, man. Thank you.
Look, you've been around those guys for a long time because you've been doing this, whether it's down in spring training. You see some of these Hall of Famers. You've covered a bunch of them now as they've gotten into the Hall of Fame. Can you just explain in 30 seconds what it's like to actually be that weekend with that group in a totally different way?
Yeah. The way they let me in, the way they treated me, I'll never forget. I was telling a friend of mine about it after I got back, and he said, "It sounds like you walked out of the cornfield and Field of Dreams." And that really is what it was like. You know, I've known a lot of those guys for a long time, but I never got treated like I was one of them before that. And the way they treated me, the way they treated my family, seriously, I'll never forget it.
Well, congratulations. All that being said, we hope you're wrong about the Cardinals.
And
that'd be fine with me. I love watching the Braves, love being around them.
How often have you said that out loud, that you love being around a team? Because I know how many years you've been around, and I know with spring training and you do visits. How often do you think you've actually said that you love a baseball team?
you've known me a long time, man, and yeah. You know how much love I have for the sport and how much I enjoy, especially October. There's certain teams I love being around more than other teams. I don't know if it happens every year. The Braves are definitely one of those teams. I really compare them a lot to those Giants teams of 10, 12, 14. Just so much fun to be around, from the manager to the clubhouse, and just the way they let you in, the vibe and the group, the way they play. There's just something special about it every night.
Well, I think that goes to Bochy and Snit being guys that they're, you know, it's overused, but men's men. Here, the door is open. If you want to have a conversation, if there's something you don't sort of understand or agree with, let's have it right here. I'm not so sure a lot of the younger managers are ever going to allow those conversations to take place.
Well, I don't know about a lot of them. You saw a guy last night in Craig Council who's as good as it gets. And, if you don't lead the human beings, you're not going to last long in the job. And, I do think a lot of these guys understand that. It's what they're there for. But are they going to do it quite the way Bruce Bochy and Brian Snitker do it? I don't know about that. That's special.
All right, Jason, listen, congratulations. As Chris said, we appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll talk more as the postseason, again, fingers crossed, rolls on for the Braves.
Thanks, man. Enjoyed it. Hope I get to see you guys in Atlanta.
Thanks,
Jason. Sounds good. Jason Stark joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.